Near FM.
We have Nora Owen, Fraud Smart Ambassador for Older People, and she's here talking to me, Paul Murray, now. So, I've never heard now of the Fraud Smart Ambassador, I must say. It sounds like a great idea. So would you start off by explaining exactly what you would do?
Well, what Fraud Smart is a system that has been introduced by the Banking and Payments Federation, and they have published a very useful little booklet and guide, and it's particularly, I suppose, relevant to maybe older people who wouldn't be quite as tech savvy as others, but it also really needs everybody to read it, because what it does is it warns you about the kind of things that can happen to you, and you can lose your money, you can lose your bank accounts, and they're warning you the things to be aware of. You know, financial institutions will tell you on an ad, never ever give your relevant numbers, your private numbers to anybody when they ring up. And the big message that Fraud Smart is getting out to people is never ever click on a link. And if you remember that one message, you won't run into trouble, because people tend to get a message and they think, you owe money, or your bank account has been touched by somebody. Please click on this link. You can absolutely rest assured that that's a scam. So what I've been doing, I've now spoken at two or three things for the Banking Federation. Well, I've actually done it for Gibney Communications, who have been the PR company that is selling the idea of Fraud Smart. And I was at a function last week in Dunleary, and we had a whole lot of people from Age Friendly, and you know, they want to know about how to recognize a scam, Paul. You know, would you be happy you could recognize a scam if it happened to you?
Well, I wouldn't. No, I wouldn't be good at that. You know,
yeah.
But I think we all have got that message that if anyone mentions your bank number in any form or any number, any personal numbers you have, just don't answer it.
Just don't give it.
Yeah.
But you see, then the scammers then come up with new things. Like, they get information about you and they ring you and they say, "Hello, Nora. I know you live in Malahide and you're a widow," and various bits of personal information which they have gathered through various things that we all do. You know, you don't have to be that, you know, a lot of us aren't that secretive about some of our information, and therefore they gather bits of information, and when you hear people knowing a bit about you, you think, oh, well, this is okay, you know, they know who I am and they know where I live and all the rest. They do not know where you live, or they do not really know you. They are using that information, and the what Fraud Smart says, what the warning is, be alert and bide your time and contact your bank or contact your insurance company if you think that somebody is trying to get information about you. Let me give you an example.
Yes, please do.
A 91-year-old man that I collect and I bring to the Forget-Me-Nots choir every week, he told me an interesting story. Two men arrived at his door. They had nice zip-up jackets with logos on it, and they said they were there to check out his alarm, that they were checking out the alarms in the area. They were able to say the name of the company because it was on his alarm button on the house. And he hadn't had any call from his alarm company. So he said to them, "Well, why are you coming like this? The alarm company didn't ring me and to tell me you were coming." And they said, "Oh no, we're just in this area. You know, the usual, we're in this area today." And he talked to them for a few minutes, and then he said, "Do you know what?" He said, "I won't let you in." He said, I'm happy enough with my alarm." And he sent them away from the house, rang his alarm company, who immediately told him there was no such check going on. And then I said to him, "Well, what did you do after that?" And he said, "Well, I didn't do it immediately, but shortly after, I rang the guards." And that's the message I'd like to get out to people. If you think you've just had somebody who shouldn't be calling at your door asking to get into your house, and you send them away, you feel good, that's good, I've done that, but you should ring 999 or your local Garda station and tell them, because those two men would have gone on to maybe another house. And, you know, once the police know they're in the area, they might drive around and find them and see what they're up to. So it's a kind of a generous thing to do, to ring the police and in case other neighbours would get caught. If you hear somebody trying to get into your back gate at night and then they go away, you think, oh, that's grand, I can go back to sleep. Well, to be honest, you owe it to your neighbours to ring the guards and say, I think somebody was trying to break into my house. So there's all sorts of areas where we can be got at, and we can take some action ourselves to correct it.
So are mostly now, are older people mostly the targets for these people, or is it?
Well, a lot of, I mean, it's everybody. I mean, I've heard of people, you know, much, much younger than me and old, you know, not that old, and they're getting caught. But in a lot of instances, the older people are kind of a game for these people, because they wouldn't be quite as savvy about their technology,
oh, yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
And I mean, here's another thing that happens, Paul. If you get a phone call, you know, a lot of older people still have fixed phones in their house, you know, a home phone.
Yeah.
And they get a phone call and somebody comes on and says, we're from the computer company and we know you're having trouble with your email and what have you. And they may well have been having trouble with their email. And or you need to contact your bank because there's something going on in your bank account. The most important thing you can do with that phone call is to say thank you very much and hang up. But here's the trick, Paul. You must hang up and then you must pick up your phone again and make sure the dial tone comes on, because these people who are scamming you will keep their phone line open, because they initiated the call, and they will keep the phone line open, and therefore you then ring your bank on your phone or your insurance or whatever the relevant group is, and they can hear you ringing them up and saying, somebody rang me about my bank account, and you know you're onto the bank, so you can talk to them, but the people who were trying to get your money or trying to get your information are still on the phone. So my message is, pick up the phone after you've hung up and make sure the phone has been fully disconnected.
Wow,
these are little things that we don't really... I wouldn't have been aware of that until somebody explained it to me. Would you have been aware of
it? No, I never heard of that before, I must say.
Oh, yeah,
like,
it's a very definite thing.
No.
And then you can get caught, you know?
No, I never thought of that.
I'm just reading off the Fraud Smart. Did you know it takes both the receiver and the caller to terminate a landline call, and make sure you hear a dial tone when you make your next call, and never ring a number given to you by a caller. Use an official number. So somebody might say to you, well, look, here's your bank number. You ring them and then I'll ring you back. Don't take that number. Go to your phone book or go to your phone and get a proper number for your bank. Go to your bank account and ring them. These are the way people get caught.
Yes,
and unfortunately, those of us who are in the older age group who haven't grown up very savvy with all the electronics, it can really cause a problem.
No,
you know?
It does sound very scary. I must say, no, I never heard that before. Now that is something new to me, and I'm sure to a lot of our listeners out there too. So,
and remind people, I'd like to remind people too, that if by any chance they do get caught and money is stolen, I know people get embarrassed and they say, oh, I was so stupid. Please have the courage to ring your bank and to ring the police, because if you don't ring them, somebody else will get scammed as well. And if you ring your bank fast enough, say you've suddenly discovered you've given somebody the permission to take €1,000, you know, a fella doing your roof or doing your walls or whatever, and you begin to really suspect that they weren't real, don't be embarrassed to ring your bank and to ring the police, because if you ring quickly, the bank may be able to stop the money going from your bank account. If you leave it till the next day or a few days later and then somebody says, did you ring your bank, the money's probably gone.
Yeah.
So again, just make yourself aware that there may be ways in which you can stop yourself being scammed. The other thing that, of course, can be very upsetting, and this is something that we find, I'm on a body called Safeguarding Ireland, and the amount of financial abuse that is done to older people, very often by relatives, Paul.
Oh, dear.
And very often by carers or people you have, you have trust.
Yes,
and
yes.
I mean, I heard a woman came to me and she said her mother had a lovely woman carer, but she discovered that she kind of told the mother there was a problem in her own house, and the mother, you know, kind of said, oh, well, if you need a few bob when you're getting out my money, take a few bob for yourself.
Oh,
but she continued to do that. And,
yeah.
And instead of taking the 50 euros that she needed for the woman's for food, she was taking 150 and keeping the 100.
Wow.
And you know what that did? There was money lost, but also there was a carer lost, and the family had to go and find another carer, you know?
Yes.
So again, you must be aware that these things, people sadly are not always honest, and you have to be aware of that.
Yes.
And make yourself comfortable with anybody who's offered to do something for you. If somebody's collecting your pension, make sure you're getting the full pension into your hand. If they go down and get it, the post office, you have to have certain proof that you're entitled to collect somebody's pension. Just make the post office will check that. But if the pension is 230 or whatever it is, make sure that's the amount of money that comes back to your house, you know?
Yes.
That it
yes,
isn't 210 yeah. and that somebody feels they can take an extra 20 off it each time because they've gone down to the post office.
Yes.
These are the kind of things that we have discovered happen.
Yes, it's amazing. You know, it is a scary world out there now, I must say, especially for older folk, you know.
Yes.
Because I'm not that tech savvy myself, you know.
I know.
Now, luckily enough, now I have a daughter who looks after most of my things.
She looks after your phone and everything,
so,
does she?
So, yes.
Yes, yes. So and you see, we like to buy online now, yeah. and we put in our credit cards and everything to buy. Just be careful doing that. There are things that, you know, some companies do. They manage to get themselves at the top of the list when you go into the online. And I mean, I got stuck, but I was trying to check in on an Aer Lingus flight some time ago, and I just put in Aer Lingus. The first one on the title wasn't Aer Lingus, it was eSky. I'm not saying anything happened to me, it was eSky.
Yeah.
And then I began to check in with that, and I had to pay extra for doing it. And I shouldn't. And somebody said to me, that sounds as if you weren't in the right Google, the right place for www.aerlingus. And I wasn't in the right place, and I had to pay an extra $12.99 for something, and then another $5.99 for something else, which I wouldn't have had to do if I was in the Aer Lingus one.
Yeah, but are these legal people that you're talking
about? Yes, this eSky was legal.
Yeah.
But some of the companies are clever. They're legal, but they must pay extra to get themselves on the top of the list. You know, if you Google hammers, say, you want to buy a new hammer.
Yes, yes.
The first one that comes up on the top, you tend to think, well, they must be the best because they're at the top of the list. They mightn't be. They might have paid a bit more to be at the top of the list.
Oh, gee.
And it mightn't be the best value, you know. You might have to go down the list a bit more, you know.
Yes.
So these are all the things I've learned myself over the years. And you just have to, you know, just teach yourself a few facts.
Yes,
And it will help, Paul, you know.
Yeah. No, what you're saying makes so much sense, but it also scares me a little bit, and I'm sure it scares a lot of people too.
Yes, it does.
You know.
Yeah. We are living in it's a great world in the way we can have access to all sorts of things, but the other thing that I say to people, and I was this morning down at an Alzheimer's Tea Day. It was kind of the fourth one in a row because they couldn't all be on the one day. And I was speaking to them. And, you know, I sort of say to people, you know, don't let time slip by. Make sure you've done a will. You know, an awful lot of people say, oh, I really must do a will. And they never do. And then something happens. And then if they die, then there's a mess if their house hasn't been in their name or whatever, if they had a child with some disability that they planned to give them a bit more than other children, and they haven't done a will, and then that child doesn't get that, you know. You have to be very, very careful. So I warned them today to do a will, and a bit of advice I gave them was, I mean, it costs money to do a will, and I said, you know, your children when you turn 70 or 80, get your presents, they get your scented candles and nice dressing gowns and all sorts of things. Instead of that, say to them the next time your birthday comes up, do you know what you'll do? You'll give me the voucher for my solicitor so that I can do my will with my solicitor. And instead of giving me candles or smellies or what have you, give me a few bob and I'll do a will. And that's a way of somebody doing it. And for the sake of the family, it's very good to have a will.
Well, I must admit now, I have a will quite a few years
now. Good man yourself.
Yeah. So I got onto that. Well, again, I was pushed on by my daughters. They say, so you'll have to do it.
And tell me this, Paul. Do you know what a power of attorney is? And have you done one of those?
Yes, I've done that too, yes.
Oh, good man yourself, because there's only 6% of people in the country have a power of attorney done.
Oh, well.
And they are so crucial. I mean, my late husband got dementia, you know, when he was 72, and once he was early diagnosed and he was still very with it, we did a power of attorney, and I did one for myself. And but it meant like that, when he began to lose capacity, you know, I was in charge of everything, you know.
It wasn't anybody else
hadn't the right to do anything. Now, we didn't actually have to implement it, but we had it.
Yes,
so my sons knew that I was the main person on the power of attorney. But, I mean, if somebody gets a brain, you know, if somebody falls, is in a crash, loses their power to have capacity to do things, if you have a power of attorney, immediately the person you've named that you wanted to name is now going to look after, whether you go to a nursing home or whether you spend your money on carers in the home or that sort of thing, or whether you want to sell your house, you know. So these are all major decisions for people, and a lot of people don't take notice that they are really, they're obliged and really responsible to do these things to make life easier. I've heard so many sad stories about people without wills and without indicating what they wanted to happen to them if they got dementia. And then the whole family starts to fight and they break up. I mean, this family breakups can cause terrible pain.
Yes, well, I have heard sad stories myself, now I must admit, on the same problem. But you're right, I mean, and everyone out there should have a person who has the power of attorney, because it's so logical when it's explained to you, you know.
Yes,
that if, because we don't know the hour or the day when we'll have an accident or we'll get something that we can't, you know, deal with all the logical things in life anymore, you know.
And
the breakdown of the family does happen too.
And another thing that struck me as we're talking there, you know, people go into the bank or they're paying in a shop, and Fraud Smart are very anxious to remind people to keep their cards where they can see them and keep the details hidden, you know, keep your hand over them and don't shout them out loud. I mean, if you have a problem, and this can happen with older people if they have a problem with a bit of deafness.
They're
buying something and somebody asks them for the card number. Well, you have to be careful, and they shouldn't ask people for their card number if they have to say it very loud, because I could be standing behind them as a criminal and I could be taking it down.
Okay,
you know,
the
expiry date, the long number, and the three digits at the back.
Yes,
and Fraud Smart have also included in that, always keep your debit and credit cards where you can see them. You know, if you're standing at a shop counter, don't put it down on the counter and start packing whatever you've just bought. Make sure you keep it in your hand the whole time. And, of course, cover your PIN. I mean, I'm amazed at the number of people who are in the shops buying petrol and all sorts of things. And I could read their PIN, you know. I could see them putting in their PIN number. If I got my hand on their card, I could use it, you know.
Oh, don't be saying that.
I wouldn't dream of it. But I'm just saying, you need to know that everywhere, unfortunately, there could be somebody kind of keeping an eye on you, you know.
Yes.
And if you get money out in the bank, make sure before you leave the bank, that you seal it in your handbag, or if you're a man, you seal it into your wallet and put your wallet somewhere where it's safe.
Yeah.
Because if somebody is watching people coming in and out of a bank, particularly, say, an older person who might be on a stick or something, they may well know they've got money and it could be sitting at the top of the bag.
Yes, in an envelope.
And I had to help a woman one day, and she just put it in and her handbag was open, and I just slipped over to her very quietly and I said, look, don't mind me, I'm just going to zip up your bag now before you go out of the bank.
Yes, very
oh,
good.
Yes,
yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Yes, she said, I should have done that. And it, we're full of I shoulds and would, you know, but we don't.
No, that's, well, unfortunately now, I'd be afraid to do that because I
Oh, well, you probably couldn't, but I knew the woman and I knew her well.
Well, sir, yeah,
there,
yeah, 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 you know, because...
And I knew her well enough to go over and say, look, yeah, before you go out of the bank now, let's zip up your bag, you know?
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. Well, no, I think I'd want to be very brave to do something like that.
You they'd would, probably, all you be, would.
I'd probably end up in the clink, you know?
Yeah, well, between Fraud Smart and Age Friendly, and then there's also a group called SAGE, which is for older people, and Safeguarding Ireland. And then, Paul, the other final thing that I wanted to just mention to you, a new piece of law came into being last week at the end of April called the Assisted Decision-Making Capacity Act. And this is going to change how people can make decisions for themselves. And so at the moment, if somebody is, you know, maybe in the early stages of dementia or Alzheimer's, you know, there's people saying, oh, they can't make that decision for themselves. You must now allow people to make the decision as much as they can for themselves. So if somebody doesn't want to be put into a nursing home and they are saying, I do not want to be put in a nursing home, people are going to have to listen to that and give them their wishes.
Okay.
And yeah, it's only when a doctor says, look, their capacity is now gone for them to make that decision because they'll only harm themselves if they stay out of a nursing home or whatever.
And how much time, excuse me butting in yeah, there, but how much time before that actual incident happened could you make a statement or write a statement?
Oh, yes. Well, this new act that has come in,
yes,
there's a lot about it in the paper. You can appoint somebody. It doesn't have to be a relative. It can be just a very close friend or somebody you really trust. And you can appoint somebody as your person that when, you know, if you fell, say, had a bad fall,
yes,
and you're
yeah,
in the hospital and you've broken your hip, and the next decision is, will you be able to go home and mind yourself? Have you the money to get a care in and all that sort of thing? Very often somebody who's had a bad accident, you know, they're a bit uncertain about what's ahead. And they can appoint, under this new act, appoint somebody. You could appoint me, but if you knew me well enough, you might say, Nora, I'd like you to keep an eye on what happens to me if I ever have an accident. And that person then is allowed to say to whoever wants to get the decision, this woman, this man, is able to make this decision. She does not want to go to a nursing home. She wants to go back to her home and maybe get care into the house and mind her there, even though the hospital might be saying, or somebody in the hospital might be saying, she really needs to be in a nursing home. So this new act now will allow people to make their own decision, you know, whilst they still have what they call capacity.
Yes, yes.
And it's also going to do away with what they call the wards of court system. There's about 2,500 people who were made wards of court.
Yeah.
And sometimes they were made wards of court because at a particular time they had a bad fall and they weren't able to kind of talk maybe or move or something. But they shouldn't be wards of court because once they got better, they should have been removed from the ward. The wards of court, you see, that allows the court to decide what to do with their money and everything. And they should have been removed off that. So this new act now will remove everybody off that and allow the people who are wards of court to be re-examined to see do they need to be a ward of court or could they make some of their own decisions themselves.
Oh, yeah.
So this is, we've been waiting for this legislation for about 20 years and now it's in.
Yes.
So what I say to people, it's a bit complicated for individuals, but if you're going to your solicitor, just say to the solicitor, I understand there's a new piece of law in there now that will help me to look after myself, and it's up to the solicitor to make him or herself aware of what's in that act.
Could you just read me out again the
act? It's called the Assisted Decision Making Capacity Act.
Okay, the Assistant Decision Making
Capacity Act.
Okay.
Yeah, it's quite a long title, but it's a very, very important bit of legislation for us all. That we can actually have things assisted decision making capacity. The word capacity is in a bracket, and it has set up something called the Decision Support Service (DSS).
Okay.
So if somebody Google's decisionsupportservice.ie.
Yes.
They will see what this service is offering and what they're entitled to. For example, one of the things that people may be entitled to is to get some free legal aid paid to do a power of attorney, which wasn't in any law before this.
Okay, yeah.
So there's no point in, we can't go down through it all now, Paul.
No, we can't, because, well, we'd have to say goodbye to you soon.
We'd have to say goodbye. Oh, you finished your time.
No, thanks, Deb.
You gave us some very vital information there, Nora.
So thanks very
thank
much
very
for coming
much
on.
Indeed. Good afternoon to you and your listeners.
Okay, thank
bye-bye.
You again. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
So there you are, folks. I think vital information is there, and hopefully you can take it all in. I'm finding it hard to take it all in myself, but this type of organisations or solicitors, and I know we all don't like it, but we have to find out and make sure that if we are getting old and ailing in some way and we need some support, we have to make a statement earlier rather than later, you know. And there's lots of legal things that might happen after we're gone, and be nice to think that whatever the house or the money or whatever we had, it goes to the right people, and that's, we should try and do it a bit earlier, I think. So I think we have about time now left to have another, we haven't got time, we're going to play another song, but we haven't got time. So anyway, goodbye for now and take care. We'll see you next week.
Near FM.